the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning again. I usually preach on the gospel reading each week, and that's certainly a wonderful reading to say something about Jesus' power over the demons. But today, what I want to talk about is the New Testament reading that Carol read from 1 Corinthians. Was from the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he was living in Ephesus at the time doing some long-distance pastoral work by means of letters. And he's dealing here with the question of whether a Christian should eat meat that has been sacrificed to a pagan god. Now, that's not something that comes up very often in our round of daily problems, but in Corinth in the first century, it was a very real issue. Pagan temples weren't like back alley affairs on the shady side of town where weird occulty people hung out. Pagan temples were prominent mainstream fixtures in society. They were set squarely in the center of town. They were the site of pagan rituals and sacrifices honoring a whole host of gods, but the temples themselves were basically the first century equivalent of the American Legion Hall, say. Because pagan temples offered parts of animals in their sacrifices to gods, they could, and they did, also function as butcher shops and as banqueting halls. They had big dining rooms in the temple where they held banquets for trade guilds, for social clubs. Wealthy people could hold private dinners at the temple. And it was very common for meat from the temple to be sold to the public in the marketplace. In cities like Corinth, the pagan temple was really as much of an economic and social institution as it was a religious one. So this problem of buying and eating meat that had been sacrificed to idols, it was a practical question. It was something Christians might have had to deal with on a daily basis, even. But the leaders of the Corinthian church, the ones that Paul was responding to in his letter, they thought they had the problem all figured out. Paul writes this: "Now, concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge." The text puts that in quotes, "all of us possess knowledge," even though there aren't quotation marks in the original Greek, because Paul is clearly quoting their own words back to them here. Writing to Paul, they let him know they knew the truth about this problem. Here's their reasoning: "There's no God besides the one true God. Therefore, pagan gods are no gods at all. Therefore, eating meat that has been sacrificed in a pagan ritual is no different from eating any other meat." That's the truth. They knew it. And Paul doesn't disagree with him. In fact, he makes all the same points himself. But I'm sure they were surprised and maybe a little taken aback when his response to them is not to commend them for their excellent, solid theology, but to sort of push it aside and maybe even be a little snippy about it. Sure, we all possess knowledge, he wrote, but here's the thing. Knowledge is great for inflating our egos, but love is good for building up the church. The word for knowing or knowledge can be found 10 times in this short chapter. So clearly, Paul is focusing on knowledge here. But right from the beginning, he makes clear that love is the key. Later in the same chapter, he will say to the Corinthians, I may have the gift of inspired teaching, I may have all knowledge, I may understand all secrets, I may have all the faith needed to move mountains, but if I have no love, I'm nothing. Paul wants to make absolutely clear to them the answer to this problem about food and idol worship couldn't be solved with knowledge alone. It was only with love that the answer could be found. On the other hand, we'd be very wrong if we drew the conclusion that Paul is just teaching us simply that love is more important than correct theology. That would be a very modern way of dismissing the problem. All you need is love, as the Beatles put it. Does it matter that that roast at the butcher shop was part of a cow that was offered up in a worship to Diana? Paul says quite clearly, we are no worse off if we do not eat. We're no better off if we do. But where they were going wrong is that they were asking the wrong question. The question was not whether they were free to eat. The question was, or the question they should have been asking was, whether their eating would do harm to their brother or sister who was a brand new Christian. Because remember, this was a brand new church. A Christian who had lived their whole life in that pagan culture and who still thought of that meat as food that belonged to a pagan idol. If Christians, knowledgeable Christians, in exercising their freedom, did violence to the tender conscience of their brother or sister, then they were doing wrong, no matter how much knowledge they thought they had, because they were failing to act in love. Paul, who is the father of Christian theology, I would say, would certainly be one of the last people to say that theology, correct knowledge, is not important at all, and that only love matters. What he did say to the Corinthians, what he does say to us, is that theology cannot be correct, knowledge cannot be truth, if it leaves out love. Truth is absolutely essential, but there is no truth without love. If someone thinks he's got it all figured out, Paul warned the Corinthians, he doesn't yet know the way he ought to know. Because knowledge in and of itself is great for puffing yourself up, but love is what you need to build up your brother or sister. And now we're not just talking about this unfamiliar world of pagan temples and meat and idol worship. This is familiar territory for us. If there's anything we know about the church, is that we spend way too much time arguing and disputing and confronting and separating from one another on the basis of what we think we know. We all possess knowledge, we say, like the Corinthians did, but in these latter days, our knowledge often seems to do precious little in the way of building one another up. And a lot of people would argue that Paul's answer might be this: knowledge is only good for puffing ourselves up. Haven't we seen enough of that? So the only solution is this: love is what builds up, so love is the answer. So what we need to do is stop concerning ourselves with knowledge, what we dismissively sometimes call head knowledge, as if that makes it less important. We need to stop being so stodgy and hard-nosed about theology and doctrine and just love each other. because clearly here it is in black and white from the pen of Saint Paul himself, love trumps knowledge. But that's not what Paul is saying here. Paul lays out the truth in the substance of their knowledge in beautiful clarity. It's almost a hymn. As to the eating of food offered to idols, he writes, we know that no idol in the world really exists and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist. That is the truth, Paul says. And our God is the God of truth. And as Jesus himself proclaimed, the truth sets us free. What Paul is urgently warning his Corinthian brothers and sisters is not that knowledge doesn't matter, but that knowledge and freedom must never become weapons to be used against our brothers and sisters. That's where love comes in. Knowledge without love is pride. Freedom without love is violence. And truth without love is no love at all. We human beings, even we Christians, so often use our liberty and our knowledge against one another. We use our knowledge to set ourselves up above our brothers and sisters. We use our freedom to control our brothers and sisters. And we forget, or we ignore, or we never knew that without love, all of our knowledge and all of our freedom is meaningless. Our personal freedom is nothing at all without love. Paul knew absolutely that pagan idols are no gods. He knew the meat sacrificed to them was just a hunk of meat. But he wrote this, if you sin against members of your family, and by this he meant members of the church, if you wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat again, so that I may not cause one of them to fall. The purpose of our knowledge and the purpose of our freedom as children of God is always and only love. Loving our brother and sister, building them up, setting them free, and loving God. And that's not only true in the time of Paul in the strange culture in a distant country, it's true here. It's true now, it's true today. Love is our purpose. We know this because Jesus showed us the way. Love was the purpose of our Lord. Jesus had all knowledge. Jesus had absolute freedom as the Son of God. Jesus was the embodiment of truth. He told us, I am the truth. And yet he didn't count any of that as something to hold on to. Instead, out of love for us, he emptied himself. He took the form of a servant. He was born as a plain old human being. Love was his purpose. And he came to show us that way of love. We love one another because first he loved us. We serve one another because our master came to serve us. And we are to offer our knowledge and our freedom in submission to our brothers and sisters. Because in our own weakness and in our own brokenness, our Lord offered all that he was and all that he had to make us whole. Amen. Amen.